Okay then, so time on the show now to speak in depth to Bakewell sports journalist and huge Chesterfield fan, Holly Bacon. Holly, thanks for coming on to the show. We're going to discuss your career so far in a lot of detail. Just first of all, how are you doing? You okay?
Yeah, I'm well, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thanks. Very well indeed. Still a little bit upset that Chesterfield couldn't get the job done, but wasn't quite the perfect season. But it was still pretty good, wasn't it?
Yeah, I refused to watch the playoff final last weekend. Couldn't bring myself to it. But no, hopefully positive feelings heading towards next season, and Paul Cook is a specialist at automatic promotion, isn't he? Not the playoffs. So hopefully next season we can do it that way.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. But away from the Spirites, Holly, yeah, we'll focus on your career so far because it's just gone from strength to strength. And of course, you're from the local region. You're from Bakewell, big Chesterfield fan, big Derbyshire cricket fan as well. So yeah, really wanted to speak to you at length just to find out how you've got to the position you're in at the moment in your career and how you've begun, because I think it'll be of great interest to a lot of our listeners. So, just first of all, Holly, how did you sort of get involved in sport in general, in terms of watching sport? Was it mainly through family? Was it kind of forced on you at an early age?
Yeah, I could definitely say to start, maybe it was forced on me. My first ever Chesterfield game, I think 2007, or maybe eight, can't remember, don't remember anything about that day, I have to say. We played Gillingham, and we lost, I am told, but my dad ended up taking me because my mum was working. It was one of them, there was nobody really to look after me, so took me along to the football, and then sort of after that I ended up going with him every fortnight to the home games, the odd midweek as well. And we started off sitting on the Compton Street at Saltergate. I remember bits about that. And then, God, I remember one game at half time, we decided to go and stand in the cop. And then after that, we were just, yeah, watching on from the cop. Started going to away games as well around that point. And yeah, it's just kind of snowballed from there, really. You mentioned Derbyshire cricket as well in the intro. And again, as a youngster, I was taken along with my dad. And still go now to this day. So yeah, I've got my dad to thank for that, definitely. Or not thank. It's been a roller coaster, however many years it's been now. I feel dead old when I see like games I've been to like 12, 13 years ago pop up on like apps and stuff. But yeah, it's been quite a while now, in my life, and yeah, love it just as much as I always have done.
So I'm interested to know what made you think. So you're going to all these games and you're going there as a fan and as a spectator, but what was there a particular day or a particular moment, or was it something that just developed over time where you wanted to actually sort of go into sports media where you thought about you'd like to, write about the game that you love or to talk about the game you love in front of some sort of audience. Was there any particular moment that made you think you wanted to go into that area?
Not really, no. I think it was more gradual. It was around the time, at school where teachers and career advisors are sort of asking you what you might want to do, and you have mock interviews and things like that. And that obviously really got me thinking. And I think the advice parents always give you is, try and do something you love, try and do something you enjoy. And as I mentioned, the biggest part in my life was always going to the football at the weekend or over the summer, going to the cricket, watching boxing as well. I love that as well, and have done for many years now. So it was kind of looking at sort of different career paths that I could go into around football, because that was my main kind of passion and the most sort of, I felt at the time, accessible career path that kind of aligned with me was definitely the journalism side of it. I had no idea whether I wanted to write, whether I wanted to go into radio. And I mean, now talking in the modern day, there are so many job roles in social media, aren't there? And there's the telly side as well, all of that. So I never really knew what it was I wanted to do specifically, but something around football, because that was my main passion.
What was your first role? I mean, obviously you didn't go, it's never the case with anyone in the sports media industry that someone just goes straight into it and they're on like full-time pay or anything like that. Was your first role with Derbyshire Media Company? Because I think that must have been when you were really, really young, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think I was about 14, 15, and it was around that same sort of time. I remember having an interview with a careers advisor. It was like a mock interview thing. You know, you were scored, all of that stuff. And I said, you know, I want to be a sports journalist. And I remember the woman was a bit like, well, what are you doing now to work towards with that? You know, it's so competitive. You need to be doing something. And I just remember like having a bad taste after that and feeling like, oh, she says I'm not going to do that. So I remember a week or so later, I saw Derbyshire Media Company wanted writers. At that age as well, I was going to watch Matlock a bit, you know, when there was no Chesterfield game, Buxton, teams like that as well. So I thought, you know, if I can join up with them, even go to a couple of Matlock games, write a few reports, that'd be brilliant and would be a great sort of starting point. But quite early on, actually, the opportunity arose to cover a few Chesterfield games, and I remember my first one was Barrow away, which was the Martin Allen season. I remember we won the first three games in the league, then we went to Barrow, the game I was doing my report. We lost, and it all kind of went downhill from there for quite some time, from a
For a few
Chesterfield
years, yeah.
perspective. Yes. But yeah, that was my first game, and then it sort of snowballed from there. I was doing more games, and I think because obviously this was all voluntary, I was going to these games anyway. So it helped them out because there wouldn't be too many volunteers, you know, travelling to Barrow on a Tuesday night like I was then, and all of these other grounds. But also, it was the most surreal experience for me because I was dead fresh into this, and even being sat next to Sam, who it was at the time, the guy doing Chesterfield's Twitter, I was like, God, this is amazing. This is so surreal. But yeah, it all just went on from there, really.
And how did you get started in radio as well? Because it hasn't always just been sports broadcasting. You've done news reading as well. I think actually for when North Derbyshire Radio first started, you did a bit of news reading for us as well. How did you get started in radio and what roles did you take on?
Yeah, I first started with Spire Radio, which did coverage of Chesterfield games at that time. It was just updates, I think, when I took it on. But I started off like going to the odd press conference, which again was the most amazing and surreal experience for me as a Chesterfield fan, doing updates. I went to Billericay away, FA Cup replay. That was my first game for them. And then, yeah, like you say, I started doing a bit of news reading, which was completely out of my comfort zone at the time, but it felt like such a good opportunity that I kind of had to take. And of course, at that time when I was doing it, it wasn't just North Derbyshire as well. There were stations in Rotherham, Doncaster, you know, even further as things expanded. So that was a brilliant and a brilliant experience for me. And those kind of skills are ones that have helped me down the line, even at uni. You know, I had a bit of experience in that, and that helped loads. And also, you know, now as well, now that I'm properly working. So yeah, that was a brilliant first kind of taste of radio.
How important was the experiences that you gained while you were at uni? Because when I was 18 to 21, we're going back quite a long way. There weren't really all that many sports journalism courses at all, I don't think, at that time, around about 2006-ish. But now they're obviously it's a very popular course. But just how important was that uni degree? Because it sounds like it created a lot of pathways for you, because I know there's quite a lot of people in and around the country that think uni courses are a little bit worthless, but with something like sports journalism, it can provide some incredible pathways, can't it?
Yeah, I think the most valuable aspect of that for me was the doors it kind of opened. I have to say, though, the experience I had, you know, that I spoke about with Derbyshire Media Company, North Derbyshire Radio, etc., Spire Radio doing the games, that was so important and gave me such a good grounding. Not to say I was ahead of some of my peers, but I actually had experience doing the things that we were being taught to do, which really helped. But like you mentioned, the pathways that a degree can open up for you are massive. One big reason I chose to go to UCLan up in Preston was because they have the NCTJ qualification as an option that you can do there, and it sounds quite boring, but you know it's an industry recognised qualification, and the BBC have asked me if I had that before, and employers value it quite highly. And in terms of the way that they open you up as a person to employers in the industry, the way that they help you build connections is just invaluable because they know these people. And I've had freelance work off the back of people I've met through uni. I went to Sky Sports News for 2 weeks, a uni event, and I still keep in touch with the news editor that set that up to this day. So those qualifications are really important. But I also wouldn't underplay how valuable real sports journalism experience is. And what's so great about that is you can get that as a young person volunteering and giving a bit of time getting out there. But the combination of the two, I think, is a really good route to go down.
What challenges, if any, have you had sort of like in your career so far? Because I know sort of like over the past few years, there's been organizations that have been created, such as Her Game 2, where it's highlighting areas where sexism is still rife within the game, not just, you know, in terms of abuse on social media, but, you know, in all levels of the game and in terms of female sports broadcasters as well, not just in football, but in all sports. I mean, what challenges have you had so far in your career that you've had to overcome?
Yeah, I definitely think that's one of them. And whilst attitudes towards women in sport are getting better and have gotten better, it's still prevalent. I mean, you know, we spoke about Chesterfield's playoff campaign and their final game of the season. I covered for BBC Radio Lancashire because I was presenting their sports programme. And someone there overheard me talking to our commentator that day and said, "Oh God, you know a lot about football, don't you?" And it's one of them, he's saying, "You know a lot about football for a woman." So yeah, it happens a lot. And as a woman presenting a sports programme on BBC local radio, of course, people can text in. I mean, I've had people text in saying, "You're the best sports presenter on Radio Lancashire." I mean, that's not true. I'm not the best broadcaster on that station. But you also have people texting in saying, "You're absolutely rubbish. You should get back to cooking, cleaning, and shopping." I've had that one this season. So, yeah, little things like that. But to be honest, I just completely brush those kind of things off. But to be honest, when I was starting out, I think some of the like more difficult kind of experiences happened. And looking back on those now, I'd have dealt with them differently. I think when I was either 14 or 15, I covered Chesterfield away at Fylde, and one of the people in the press box said to me, "Oh, I remember your pretty face." Which is completely out of order, obviously. But I kind of didn't know what to say at that time. You know, now if I saw somebody saying that to a young, you know, a young girl really at that time, I'd say, "God, that's bang out of order." And I had a bad experience at one of Chesterfield's games when we were playing behind closed doors, and another member of the press was listening to like a conversation I was having. Found like my private Instagram and things after, was messaging really inappropriate stuff. But I kind of handled that well in the end and basically told him, message me again, I'll get in contact with your employer. But really, looking back on that, I think I should have reported it to the club. I don't know what they'd have done about it, but I think it's probably good for them to know about that because it is inappropriate. But yeah, they're the main sort of challenges. But the comments and things like that, I think for some time women will still get those. But I think when you've been in the industry for a little bit of time now, you come to expect that kind of thing. And honestly, it's not right, but you do just take it with a pinch of salt.
Do you, not sure if I'm wording this right, but does it give you extra motivation when you have come through really horrible experiences like that, or where you're clearly being, where you've had comments where, like, oh, you know a lot, as if to say, you know a lot about football for a woman? Does it give you extra motivation to keep on going up that ladder, and you've reached a very high rung up that ladder already, and you're still very young. But does it give you extra motivation to kind of, like, put down those people and to, make them sort of like eat those words and for the idiotic things that they've said in the past?
Yeah, I think in a sense, but I think always my main motivation, will come from just absolutely loving football. And, it's not just Chesterfield. I started this role with Radio Lancashire, back in September, and I absolutely love that. And I love learning more about these clubs. It's a patch that has seven EFL clubs, well, six now, Morecambe have gone down, but these are proper football clubs, with, fans that care so much and live and breathe their teams. And that for me is the motivation to kind of be the best that I can be, because I'm doing that job for them in a sense. And whilst it might be me sort of speaking behind a mic or whatever, I'm in a sense a voice bringing all that together for those fans. But yeah, definitely those kind of comments and things probably add to it a bit, but it'd still never be my main motivation because I don't really listen to what other people have to say unless they're my colleagues, my editors, those kind of things.
What do you think that social media is getting worse for people that are working within sports media and within sports journalism in terms of the stuff that you can receive? Because I think on some platforms, I mean, when I say some platforms, mainly on X, or known as Twitter or whatever the owner wants to call it these days, but it does seem to just get worse and worse, and it just seems to target people that want to make this platform a worse platform to be on and use. Do you think it's getting worse, and do you have any confidence that it is going to get better for people?
It's a really good question. I just think, even away from sports media, which forms part of the wider landscape, I think it's become so much more toxic. Even down to like the repeated like spam posts and comments you see, and all of that kind of thing. And I think there absolutely has to be regulation for people using social media. There should be some form of identity check to have an account because it just seems, doesn't it, that you can hide behind whatever picture you want and say whatever things you want to somebody and there are absolutely no boundaries. And I think I've been lucky in the sense, being somewhat in quite a small spotlight that I've never had to experience some of that. But when I see people that have and see how much that can affect them, it just goes to show that something absolutely has to be done, and I'm not surprised to see people move off from X, and use other platforms instead because it just has become so toxic. There's so much misinformation, isn't there? And it's bad for society as a whole, as well as sports journalism. I mean, I guess saying that, it's hard to see really when there's going to be a turning point and it's going to get better.
I was meaning to ask this earlier on as well, but especially when you were just starting within sports journalism and the sports media industry, who was your sort of main role model? Who did you look up to in the industry and think like, I want to be like that person, I want to get to their level? Was there anyone that really stood out that, you looked up to?
Yeah, I think at that stage when I was doing different things, writing, radio, etc., when I was volunteering, there probably wasn't anybody that massively stood out as a singular role model. But I think as I've developed and gone further, Jackie Oatley is the biggest one for me. Not just the fact that, she has been an absolute trailblazer, in the highest form in women's sports and for women working in sport as a whole. But just that she gives back as well and mentors young journalists like myself. So yeah, she's a big one, especially because of what she did in radio as well to start with. And then I guess you look at telly, don't you, and see people like Kelly Cates, who is doing absolutely fantastically. People like Laura Woods, particularly a couple of years ago when she was on TalkSport, and people like that. But I admire a lot of writers as well. People like David Ornstein, David Conn is a big one for me. I like, the subjects that he writes about that are often bigger than football that's being played on the pitch, but actually the game as a whole and how that impacts society and, the societal issues he writes about, all of those kind of things. So there are probably a mix, for me.
And what advice would you have for people that are wanting? So, for anyone listening that is interested in getting involved within the sports media industry, or if they're a teenager and thinking they might want to go into that maybe a couple of years down the line and are just starting out, what advice would you have for people in that position?
Just to try and get stuck in, if there's something that you want to do, whether that be writing, social media, podcasting, anything like that, just to either create that content yourself or even better, approach a local non-league football club who, one will be really grateful for that support, as a volunteer, but also because that's actual experience of doing the job. If you can write a report at Buxton against Scunthorpe in the National League North, you can write a match report of the Champions League final. It's the same skill. And I think that experience of just getting out there, doing things, not being afraid to make mistakes, is just the best advice I think you can give anyone. Just give it a go, and you've got nothing to lose, and you'll pick up probably some fantastic experience.
So where next from here, Holly? So it's already been an incredible career trajectory for you. You're still very young. I mean, you've got a lot of presenting duties already for BBC Radio Lancashire. What other stuff would you like to do? Or are you still not sure yet? You're not too sure what the future will look like?
No, I would like to veer into doing more radio. I'm freelance at the moment, so that does give me the flexibility to, work for different companies. I say that, but I am just working within the BBC at the moment, but there are loads of arms to that. Most of the time I'm in the office with BBC Sport doing stuff on their website. But I'm hoping over the summer and hopefully into next season that I'll be doing a bit more, in the radio industry, and see what kind of opportunities there are there. Things like sports bulletins, producing and more presenting as well. Hopefully a bit of reporting. I'd absolutely love to get back to doing that kind of thing. So yeah, that's what I'm hoping for in the future. But I think as well, another tip really is to just still take those opportunities, and any door that kind of opens for you, you kind of have to go with, because it's such a ridiculously competitive industry. So many people will have grown up like me, loving sport, loving football in particular, and wanting to work in it. And obviously, that makes it harder. So you kind of have to pounce on those opportunities. They might not be 100% aligned with what you think you want to do, but they might be able to help you get there in the future.
What's been, obviously you've still got a long, long way to go, but in terms of your career, but what has been your career highlight so far, would you say?
Oh, it's a really good question. I think probably looking back on the last EFL season, I suppose I could probably say the day when I was working at the WAM and talking about all the clubs in Lancashire, but seeing my own team sneak into the playoffs was utterly ridiculous. But I think this season, the day that Burnley clinched promotion back to the Premier League was a brilliant day for them. I love being at Turf Moor, presenting that output. And I think with that role, you get to work with so many brilliant reporters and commentators, but also the pundits that we have, the ex-players. It's just such a brilliant team. And like I said earlier about, sort of delivering that for the fans and bringing that kind of thing to them. Yeah, that's what I really love. And yeah, that day probably has to be the highlight, although it was slightly tinged because Morecambe were relegated on the same day,
Yeah.
which was a shame. But in terms of broadcasting for me, that day probably has to be the highlights.
Finally, Holly, just before I let you go, I was just interested as well in knowing sort of what your goal is in terms of what you wanted to do in the sports media industry. Because obviously you've mentioned a couple of role models that you've had before. Ideally, do you, in a few years' time, you want to be seeing yourself as a role model to, the next generation of sports media personalities, and in particular, female sports media personalities as well?
Yeah, massively. And I think, that should go for most people in the industry as well. I think everybody appreciates how difficult it is to make a living out of this industry, first of all. Never mind kind of, rising to more prominence and things like that. So I always try to help people. Anytime anybody messages me, just asking for tips or whatever it might be to do with sports media, I always try and do that. And I mentioned mentors and role models, people like that. And I think, going forward, hopefully when I'm more experienced at a later stage in my career, I'd definitely like to do something like that and help more people, because obviously we spoke about sexism that is still a part of this industry, albeit a smaller part than it once was. And I think, just as a woman, for me, like speaking to Jackie Oatley, I've had a couple of Zoom calls with her and, WhatsApp her every now and then. Having that kind of voice who's been there and done it and experienced exactly what you want to do, can help you get there, but it can also help you overcome challenges, whether they're practical to do with the job or whether they're, other challenges that you might face along the way. I think those role models are so inspiring. And I think, yeah, that's a really important part of what I want to do going forward massively.
Fantastic. And of course, you've mentioned the stuff that you do now, not just presenting for BBC Radio Lancashire, but being on, well, like the sports desk really for BBC Sport Online. It's going to be a busy summer for you as well, isn't it?
Yeah, we've got the Women's Euros coming up, which is really exciting. I'll be working on some of that from Salford. And of course, the football never really stops, does it? And I jetted off on holiday after the EFL season ended, and I thought, it'll be a quiet couple of months before we get back round to pre-season and the season starting again. But actually, there's so much coming up this summer, loads of international football, the Club World Cup, which personally I'm not too bothered about. But some sports fans are, and I've no doubt I'll be doing work on that in some capacity England games coming up in a couple of weeks. So yeah, there's absolutely loads. And I'm really looking forward to it. Also looking forward to watching Derbyshire a bit this summer. I went to Old Trafford, what was that, a couple of weeks ago. And it's been a nice start to the county championship season. So hopefully that can continue. So yeah, hopefully a bit of sport in a work capacity, but also a bit more in an enjoyment capacity over the summer.
Okay, fantastic stuff. Well, thanks for your time, Holly, and for speaking to us in such length and detail about your career so far, because it's come so far so quickly from growing up in Bakewell and covering Chesterfield for the likes of Derbyshire Media Company, and then doing news reading for North Derbyshire Radio ourselves. It's absolutely fantastic and a real local success story. So thanks for your time, Holly. I'm sure we'll speak to you. Well, a bit later down the line, hopefully speaking about some excellent Spirites transfers in a couple of months. But we'll speak to you soon, Holly, and enjoy the summer ahead.
No, oh, thank you very much.